From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made about a year ago on this program when a local woman's story led to some of the most feedback we had in 2019. Marielle Jensen Battaglia joined us to talk about what she gave up for Lent. She'd read a book called How to Be Alive, which encouraged her not to suppress moral responses to issues just because they seem insurmountable. For instance, choosing not to recycle because it takes more than one person to combat climate change. Marielle wanted to change her consumption habits, so with all this in mind, she gave up single-use plastics for Lent. She says curbing her use of things like plastic water bottles or shopping bags wasn't difficult, but she soon found herself having to analyze the plastic in each purchase, from razor cartridges to bread bag ties to hidden plastics like granola bar wrappers. It's everywhere! Well, in the year since our last discussion with her, she's met her challenge and has returned to using some plastics, but she says she's made changes in her life that wouldn't have come without that single-use plastic fasting, so to speak. And she's back with us this hour talking about what she learned and to discuss how we can apply some of those lessons to our own lives and buying habits. Marielle Jensen Battaglia, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're gonna inspire some people this hour, and you know what? We need it. We need a little bit of a diversion from pandemic talk, if you don't mind. So that's a big ask of you, but it's on your shoulders now. So, and we're going to focus mostly away from that. Though, interestingly, you are doing some work in epidemiology, aren't you?
It's a strange coincidence, but yes, in the last year, I've actually started as an epidemiology PhD student at the University of Rochester. Infectious disease is not my area of specialty. My interest is in healthy aging, but there's been certainly a lot of talk about that, and of course it permeates most aspects of our lives, so I'm sure that's on the mind of some of our listeners.
And as we deal with pandemic times, I mean, so many people are understandably taking very few trips out in public, very few trips to the store. It's sort of an in-out, fast as you can do, the grocery store sort of thing, or the dollar store, wherever people are going. So they may not be thinking all that much about plastics and things like that. Do you set it aside during this time? Or, you know, I mean, do you blame people for maybe saying, hey, this is not the time for this? Or do you think, you know, we can all still make changes?
I think that is an extremely relevant and timely question. So speaking just for myself, not for the University of Rochester or the program that I'm in, I think that there's definitely a tendency during this time to sort of feel guilty for having to make less sustainable choices. So, for example, those of us who frequent the bulk food section in grocery stores, well, that's not really an option right now. That's been closed for reasons of infection control. There's some fears that have been generated about reusable bags and whether disposable bags would be more safe from that perspective. There's also a ban on reusable cups and mugs for takeout beverages in a lot of cafes and point-of-service type of places. There's decreased use of public transit right now. And, of course, people are buying a lot more things online, which comes with packaging. So that's all from not even sort of a medical perspective, just from a consumer perspective. But there are definitely places and times to sort of really focus in and try to make changes, and places and times to do what's safe and what's recommended for the health of our community. So I think that it's good to have sort of a proactive and reflective response to times like this, right?
Yeah.
We want to look at what's happening as opposed to sort of beating ourselves up about what we are or aren't doing right now.
Sure. And to some degree, this conversation is a conversation aimed at a post-pandemic world that will give us sort of a sense of normalcy and a sense of aspiration for the kind of changes we can make, even if you can't make them now. But I think this conversation, the reason it got so much feedback a year ago is because people want to make changes. I think people want to learn about the options that there are there. And listeners, as we go throughout the conversation this hour, I would love to hear from you about changes you've made with your consumption, or again, thinking, especially post-pandemic, the questions you may have about products that either have plastic or, you know, end up in a landfill, the changes you could make. It's 844-295-TALK. It's toll free, 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program, connections@wxxi.org. Marielle's going to go down a list of some of the changes she's made, and she has shared some pictures with us. And so as we do that throughout the hour, follow along with us on social media and follow us along with us on Twitter at Evan Dawson, at MMAC Media, and we will post some of the pictures of the things that Marielle's been using because she was kind enough to share those with us. So wherever you are, follow along with us. And why don't you kind of take me through the day here? Marielle, let's start with your routine and how it's different and what you have changed in the last year.
All right. Well, I guess if we're going through the day, one of the first things would be just sort of the morning routine, getting ready, taking care of yourself. So a couple of things that I've changed would be in the shower, I now use a shampoo bar instead of a bottle, a plastic bottle of shampoo. And
it's a shampoo. It's a bar of shampoo?
It is a soap bar that you suds on your head instead of having a bottle of shampoo. Yes.
Okay.
Another thing would be instead of using, again, like a bottle of soap, to switch that for a bar because that doesn't have to come in plastic. It often comes in a paper wrapper. And then maybe when you are using deodorant, that's one of the pictures that I provided, you could make the switch from a plastic container of deodorant that isn't often at least fully recyclable or to a jar version of deodorant that you can sort of spread on and then rinse out the jar and recycle it when you're done. There's also some make-it-yourself versions, but I haven't gone that far.
Make your own deodorant, you said?
Deodorant, yes. I think that was brought up by maybe someone who called in on the show last year, and there's definitely some concoctions out there that may work, but I buy the ready-made version.
All right, so let me ask a couple of things as we talk about some of these products. When it comes to the bar of shampoo, people are used to a bar of soap, but a bar of shampoo you get where?
So bar of shampoo is something that you can buy online. Some local stores may have it as well. There's a lot of different varieties, some of which work better than others, especially if you have hard water versus soft water. So you may have to try out one or two to figure out what works for you. But the benefit is that it tends to last a lot longer than a bottle. Similar to if you have a bottle of hand soap versus a bar of hand soap, typically the bar lasts longer. So even if it's a little more expensive up front, you usually save money in the long run. And I found it's pretty effective, but just like regular shampoo, you've got to try different brands and see what works for your hair.
And I'm looking at the deodorant picture. So on the left in the deodorant picture, especially if our listeners want to follow along with us, it's the Ban deodorant, right? The stick deodorant, is that right? Is that the picture I'm looking at? And then on the right, it's the jar of spread-on deodorant?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get the jar?
So the jar, again, is something that you can purchase online, but it's also available, I think, at GNC carries it, and some other pharmacy-type stores might have it. Essentially, what it is it's a paste that has activated charcoal in it, and you can spread it on. It doesn't stain clothing or anything like that. I find it very effective. And it, again, it's this simple jar so that it's not hard to wash out, it's not hard to recycle, and it's glass, which is typically recycled more reliably than plastic. Whereas the stick deodorant, although it may be kind of quick and convenient to use, it's hard to get clean afterwards, and most of them you can't really recycle.
See, that's the thing. I think people will look at that stick deodorant, or they'll think of their own deodorant at home, and they'll think, well, I toss that in the recycle bin every time. What's the problem with that? This is another example of a product that people may be wish cycling but not realizing that it's not really on that list.
Yes, and that's something that came up in our show last year, and I bet there are lots of listeners that will have comments about that. But the degree to which recycling streams get contaminated by plastics that aren't recyclable, for example, putting plastic grocery bags into a
yep.
recycling bin with hard plastics, it can affect how much of that load of plastics is actually recycled in the end.
Speaking of, well, hold on, before we get to grocery bags, on the subject of this deodorant, to kind of close it off here, are you spreading it on with your hands? Is there a tool that you're using? Is it easy?
So all good questions. I mean,
we're getting personal, but that, you know, let's do it.
We are. I'm not afraid. It's okay. You know, some of these brands will come with a stick that you can kind of get the cream out, and then you'll put it on with your fingers, or you could use a cotton pad or something like that if you like to do that. I find that using clean fingers and only clean fingers go in the jar, it keeps it nice and clean. And then if I ever have to put deodorant on when I'm already sweaty, like you're in between events, I'm not putting it on with a stick that I'm going to then, you know, contaminate with my sweat. So yeah, I like it. It's a good option.
Now, you just mentioned plastic grocery bags, and we are in the midst of a big change in this state when it comes to plastic bags. I mean, essentially, we're not going to see them in stores. And I am very curious to know if you've been sort of cataloging the public reaction to this, because this is something that you changed long ago, but a lot of people are getting used to, you know, on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis.
Oh, yes. The number of conversations that I've heard about, well, I can't use those Wegmans bags for my cat litter anymore, or lining my bathroom trash, or something like that. You know, what am I going to do instead? You know, I think those are feelings that people have about this change, but they usually can have a really positive spin because it makes you think about whether you need to really be using that bag for that application. But also, and this is a tip that I just want to give for people because I've really applied it myself over the last year, when you're talking about being prepared, the most common reason people don't use reusable bags is because they forget them. I try to think of myself in, I have a lot of friends and I'm an aunt a couple of times over. So people who have children, when you leave the house and you have a small child, you bring your diaper bag, right? And your diaper bag has all the things that you're going to need for that child to take care of them when they're out and about. I think we should have sort of an adult version for ourselves to try to avoid single-use plastic. So you can remember it for other applications. You know, just try to use whatever reminder system works for you to make sure that you're always taking it with you. And if they are in the trunk of your car and you get all the way to the checkout and you think, oh, they're out there, you know, the cashier will usually put your things aside so that you can go and get them. It's just a habit we have to make.
Marielle Jensen Battaglia, our guest who has done a lot of work to jettison plastic from her life, and that means in just about every room of the house and the purchases, the daily activity. It's been a lot of work, and we're talking about how she's done it because she was on last year. It inspired a lot of people. CT writes to the program to say, regarding bar shampoo, you can get it at Lori's Natural Foods in Rochester. So there's probably a number of places. Thank you, CT. That's just one good example if you want to make that switch. When it comes to shaving, you've got a picture of a metal razor versus one with plastic. Tell me about shaving.
Right. So razors are something that a lot of us use daily or every other day, and cartridges to refill them are pretty expensive. So you've got, which I don't have in the picture, you've got the fully disposable plastic razor where you throw the whole thing out, the head and the stem. Or you can get, the most common are these sort of refillable ones with a plastic handle and then, or a metal handle, and then you replace this plastic piece on the end. But it's mixed. It's got metal in it. It's got plastic around the edge of it. Sometimes it has sort of a organic hydrating gel on it, and so it really can't be recycled. But if you go for a safety razor, the safety razor has a stainless steel razor blade that you replace. And some people feel that they can be recycled if they're carefully put together and not in a way that's going to harm anyone sorting the recycling. But even if they aren't recycled, it's not plastic and it's a much smaller piece that you're throwing away.
Okay. How's the quality difference? Any difference?
You do have to be a little bit more careful. I think there are some listeners from other generations that probably grew up with this method, and to them they would say that it's, you know, not any harder. But if you've been using the plastic type of razor for a long time, it's a little bit of a learning curve to just make sure that you're not kind of slicing sideways when you shouldn't be. But I do think it's something. I don't know how else to say it. I can't demonstrate.
Bleeding all over your bathtub.
Areas of your body that are kind of curved and such, you just have to be a little bit more careful. But they do also sell some styles with articulated heads that will flex to let you get into places a little bit more easily. And the good thing is it's only one blade, so you can replace it every time it gets dull, as opposed to more expensive, actually, 5 and 6 blade plastic cartridges that you would have to replace the whole head.
Okay. Let's move away from the bathroom, because we spend a lot of time there and there's a lot of plastic there. I will make one reference only to this. Marielle is such an amazing person that she has found ways to do just about everything that she needs to do, even things that you wouldn't think possible, I think. And there are women in the office who saw your list of pictures, Marielle. I shared your list. Marielle sent pictures of the changes in products that you've made in terms of getting plastic out of your life. And there's one picture in particular that the women in the office went, oh, my God, she's a hero. She's the best person we know. We don't know if we could do that. But I will just leave it at that, that you have found ways to do just about everything, which is pretty remarkable, if I could just put it that way.
Yeah, I won't reveal anything. I'll leave it right where you put it, Evan. I think people can draw their own
Go to our social media feed, and I'll let people figure it out. She's amazing.
Folks from other generations are going to look at that and say, oh, yeah, I know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. Marielle Jensen-Vitaglia is our guest for the hour, and we're talking about getting plastic out of your life as much as you possibly can. Now, going down the list of other things that have been easier for you, you've got two lists. You got one where things were easier you found over the last year, and others where you sort of backslid. I want to go down the easy list a little bit more before we kind of dig back into where things have been harder. So we talked about reusable bags. That's becoming part of life for everybody. Single-use plastic when eating at restaurants or events. Do you get the sense that that is also changing more or less rapidly? I mean, do you think people are getting on board with that?
Well, that's another area where I've sort of used my adult version of a diaper bag, right? When you know you're going somewhere that there's going to be single-use plastic, and you can, I mean, you don't need to know that with 100% certainty. Just, I'm going to an event, there's going to be food, and it's the type of event where probably there'll be plastic plates and forks and things that I'll have to toss. I have a little lunch bag, and actually that's in one of the pictures as well, that I have my own set of just like a cup, a bowl, and a spoon from, you know, spoon and a fork, those kind of things from home that I will bring with me. This works really well in the workplace. I'll just go to the event. I'll put those things on my plate, and then when I'm done with the event, my workplace has a employee kitchen where I can go and wash and reuse those things again. They just stay at my work. And I was really concerned that there was going to be a lot of judgment, that people would say, like, oh, well, do you think you're sort of better than other people by bringing those items? But the response is almost unanimously positive. You know, people are like, this is such a good idea. I'm going to try this. More of us should do this. And it really hasn't been a lot of pushback of people saying that it's something that I shouldn't be doing. So
that's
I found that it's definitely more acceptable.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I would think the reaction you're getting from people in these kind of settings has something to do with how you're carrying yourself. I mean, if you're ostentatiously pulling out, plastic or, you know, items that are more permanent, not plastic, and making sort of a display of it, that's one thing. If you're just living your life and you're doing what you're doing and people are going to start noticing, but they don't sort of feel judged, that's probably another way to open doors. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree. I think this came up on the program last year and another year in, I would say, I believe it even more so, that judgment and telling other people what to do is not a way to generate change. You just want to be a positive example, offer people advice if they ask for it. And also, I really encourage people that, like, my switch is not to go out and buy something special like this lunch kit that's all sustainably produced and costs $30 or $40 that I'm going to carry around with me. It's things I already have that I'm just bringing in from home. And if you have something that's like that and it's plastic, but it's multiple-use plastic, you know, like a Tupperware or something that really works for you, there's no reason to go out and replace it. You should use solutions that you already have because that's the first step of reduce, reuse, recycle, right? Let's reduce what we're buying.
You're right on your list of things that have been easier to keep up with. Not buying zip top bags, not buying plastic wrap for use at home. Is plastic wrap one that ever comes up where you go, boy, I could really use this?
You know, I've been pleasantly surprised by the number of things I was putting in plastic wrap that actually I didn't really need to be. They could be stored in, for example, in the picture that I have that'll be posted on social media, a glass jar. It's actually a peanut butter jar that I've just washed out and I'm reusing. So I don't need to put grapes that I'm bringing for my lunch into a plastic bag. They can just as easily go in a glass jar, which I can put in the dishwasher or wash by hand when I'm done. And then also some things that are you know, even a little bit more awkward, like an avocado, if I've cut that in half. They do sell something that's a plastic avocado keeper, but I don't have one of those. Really, if you're going to be using the thing within a day or two, it doesn't make a gigantic difference if it's covered in plastic wrap or not. And it's just as good to have it in, as I say, like a glass jar or using an alternative like beeswrap, which I also have a picture of. Beeswrap is a beeswax impregnated piece of cloth that is flexible and you can sort of mold it around items. And that works pretty well for most applications as well. So I really haven't missed it.
When it comes to using and reusing plastic, on your list of easier things to do in the last year, coming up with ways to reuse or donate plastic items, what have you been doing?
So one of the main things I would say is if you have a piece of plastic that isn't working for you anymore and you're thinking, I've got to throw this out, before it goes in the trash, just think about, could someone else get use out of this? So again, a lot of these options are on hold right now, but we have some wonderful places in the Rochester area like Greenovation or other secondhand stores that will take items that maybe aren't even fully useful anymore, but maybe they'll be used in part by someone to repair something or for an artistic project, something of that nature. So I'm thinking we had some light switch plates that were plastic that we were going to take out of our house and we were going to donate. We were going to throw away, essentially, because they weren't recyclable. And those were something that we could give or donate to another place. There are free cycle groups. You never know. If you put something up, somebody might really want that item, and it works for them, even though it doesn't work for you anymore. So before you throw it out, just kind of give it that second thought. And then as far as personal reuse, you know, just things like in one of the pictures, I have a zip-top bag. A lot of items come in a zip-top bag now from the grocery store, like flour or sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Or in this case, it was blueberries. And there's nothing wrong with rinsing that out and reusing it if you do have that awkward item that won't fit in something else. I'm not advocating for people to do that for months and months, but it might work in a pinch.
You also say that you consider plastic when making your purchasing decisions. What's an example of how you can consider plastic? Because there are times where you may not know how something is either packaged or where the plastic might be in a certain item.
I think that's absolutely a good point to be making. So if you're looking, let's make an example. One of the things that we're going to talk about that I did really poorly with going back to using plastics, is I love chips, you know, like tortilla chips and potato chips, and those almost always come in non-recyclable plastic bags. So if I'm standing there and I'm trying to decide what am I going to get for chips this week, well, I probably want to go for not the bag that has all the little single serving packets in it, because that's way more plastic and way more packaging, even though I'm still getting single-use plastic if I buy the bigger bag and divide them up myself when I take it home. Another example would be something like I'm going to be buying an item online and I'm really trying to avoid plastic. I might take the time to scroll through the comments, because unfortunately, manufacturers don't have to list whether or not their item is wrapped in yards and yards of plastic when you're getting it at home. And I might choose not to buy that item that comes wrapped in excessive amounts of plastic.
All right. Marielle Jensen-Battaglia is our guest, and she is someone who has gotten rid of a lot of the plastic in her life. She gave up plastic essentially for Lent last year. We thought this was such a cool idea. We invited her on the program and got a huge amount of feedback and asked her, will you come back in a year and tell us if you were able to sustain the changes? And it turns out that a lot of the changes she has been able to sustain. After our only break of the hour, we're going to talk about some of those areas that have been the hardest to make those changes. And we'll take some listener feedback. So if you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK. 844-295-8255, 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. You can email the program connections@WXXI.org. Where have you been able to make changes in your life to reuse more, to get rid of plastics, to make lifestyle changes? Maybe it's in how you're bringing lunch to where you're going. And yes, I know during the pandemic, this sort of feels like it's a question for another time. And maybe it sort of is. Not fully, but we recognize it's harder right now. But we're not going to live in this pandemic forever. And I think there is a lot of inspiration in a conversation like this. We'll get some of your feedback and much more with Marielle next. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, a University of Rochester professor has an idea for students. He's teaching how we can all disagree better. He's basing it on a new book. We'll talk about that in our first hour. In our second hour, colon cancer screening guidelines are changing. What you need to know, we'll talk with you on Friday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I'm looking at some of the feedback we're getting on social media. On our Twitter feed, we're posting some of the pictures of Mariel's items. And Mariel Barb says on Twitter, taking a look at your metal razor. Ouch, not there yet. I remember using one and bleeding a lot 40 years ago. So the point is, you said it just takes a little practice. You can get there.
I think so. And also you just have to maybe have the right medium of soap or shaving cream or whatever you're going to put there to make sure that you're getting good contact and it's nice and smooth. And also change your blade frequently. You know, don't use a dull blade, definitely. It's not for everyone, but even if you can do that for some of your shaving, you're still reducing.
Let me get a different Barbara. Barbara in Brighton on the phone. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
Hi there. I love this. I was listening as I was pouring a little bit of cream from one of my international delights into my coffee.
Uh-huh.
And thinking, one time long ago, I called them and complained because when they first came out, they were in like milk carton type stuff that you could recycle. And then they went to these stupid plastic shaped things. And, you know, that happens so often. And so you're sort of fighting uphill, you know. And secondly, a good thought is when you get foods that are in, like, I call them little Wegmans containers or whatever, but they come with the little round lid and they have just enough of a lip that I use them under the plants that are on my windowsill. And it keeps me from overwatering them because can't put too much water in them or the water goes over the little lip. So I'll hang up and listen.
Barbara, as always, thank you. So, Mariel, on her first comment, I think a lot of people who are making coffee at home this afternoon can relate to getting coffee creamer in plastic. What's the advice for how to navigate coffee creamer?
So an easy switch, which Barb may already be doing, is to go from single serve little packets to the larger size container. At least in that case, the larger size container is typically recyclable. You just have to look for the symbol on the bottom. Maybe the lid may not be. That's another concern. Very small plastics are often lost from recycling streams, but it's still much less than when you're talking about those single serve cups. So when I go to events, I like to drink coffee and I'll bring like my own mug, but I'll actually take the coffee black if the only option are those little single serves, because there's just no way that they're not going into the landfill. So if you can do that, that's an option. It's just to refuse or not have the drink.
I think it's a good point too, and a good reminder from Mariel for all of us that sometimes we think an entire product is recyclable. It may not be. Sometimes part of a product may be. So do a little bit of homework and figure that out, because you're going to help the people on the other end who have to try to deal with this, especially if we put things in the recycling stream that shouldn't be there. But also maybe don't give up, but figure out what parts can be. Good stuff. As always, Barb, thank you. Let me get Pam in Newark next. Hi, Pam.
Hi. I have several things I wanted to mention. One, most everything that we wear or our sheets are made out of, everything is now made out of acrylics, polyesters. They're all plastic. So, and the other thing, they're all made out of crude oil originally. And there's no recycling in Wayne County anymore. They pass a law where they have to pick it up, but you watch them and they just throw it in the back of the dump trucks, because there's nowhere to take it anymore.
Hmm. Well, what do you think about that, Mariel?
Well, I have two thoughts. One of them is actually fairly well developed. So if I can, I'll spin on that for a
sure.
minute. this issue of synthetic fibers, this is something that I was totally ignorant of last year when we had the last connections program, and then I have learned a lot about in the intervening time. So microplastics are a pretty large pollution problem. When you read about plastics in the oceans, a lot of times they're focusing on visible plastics, but if you read a little deeper, a larger problem are these really tiny pieces of plastic that fish and even very small organisms in the ocean can ingest, which brings plastic into the food chain. So synthetic fibers from clothing, like acrylics, like polyester, are one of the major sources, which I didn't realize. So I did look up some ways, and this is something I'm actively doing myself, to try to reduce the amount of microplastics that are shed from your clothing. It primarily happens when you wash the clothing. It's not happening typically as you're just walking around and wearing it. So there's some different things that we can go through. I don't know if the caller is still on the line, if she has any thoughts about how she's reduced that herself.
She's not. She can call back if she wants, and we'd be happy to have her. Okay. But why don't you expand on that a little bit, Marielle? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, so go ahead, Evan.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I am totally with you that when we think about plastics, this is one of the places that our mind goes the least.
Yeah, so apparently this is, as I say, one of the top sources of microplastic in the oceans and comes a lot from the wastewater from our washing machines. So some things that you can do, you can buy natural fabrics. Such as wool or cotton, although those often have other environmental impacts, so you just need to be aware. But you can also wash your clothes less often with cooler water, a fuller load, and a less aggressive spin cycle. This all pulls less fibers off of the fabric. Also, the fabric tends to shed the most when it's new, so buying used clothing is a great way to try to reduce that. And then there are some filter options, which I have not used yet, but I am thinking about. One is a type that it's a bag that you put your clothing into to try to catch the microfiber and microplastics off of it. And another is a ball that kind of goes in with your laundry and sort of is a sponge that soaks them up. And then there are washing machine filters that are more expensive that you can put on your washing machine wastewater to catch these plastics.
All right. Good luck. And thank you to Pam in Newark for that. A lot of feedback. Let's keep it going. Cindy in Spencerport. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Evan. I'm walking on the canal path, so if it sounds funny, that's the reason. I listened to the show last year, and I was so impressed and inspired. And I also found the shampoo bar, but I haven't used it yet because I'm still working on finishing the bottle that I have. But I also found toothpaste tablets that you chew and brush with, and they come in a paper envelope. Unfortunately, they come from across the pond in Europe, so it's a...
Cindy, you're going to blow away there.
Yeah, it's a little breezy, but my collie and I are loving it. And then I do reuse the zip-top bags. I have a drawer full of them rolled into tight little neat bundles. And my husband and I and his sister use them for backpacking and packing food for those trips. And what was the deodorant I found, it comes in a cardboard tube. And I have, because we heat our house with wood most of the time, it's easy to get rid of that without putting it in the landfill. So those are a couple of examples that I thought of while I'm walking here and keeping my dog from getting in the way of the bicycle.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for calling, Cindy. And let me kick to Marielle first with the question on toothpaste tablets. What are you doing about toothpaste and what do you make of toothpaste tablets, Marielle?
So I think toothpaste tablets are a fantastic idea, right? They are going to have less environmental impact from a production and shipping standpoint because they're lighter. They're also going to be probably, and they have no packaging, which is the plastic concern. I have looked into them a little bit. My two concerns with toothpaste tablets are, one, they are much more expensive than buying toothpaste in a tube, so they're really not accessible to everybody. And two, at least for me, it's been difficult to find ones that contain fluoride. So there may be out there. I haven't done as much research in this area. Maybe another listener has a suggestion. But between those two things, I think they're a really great idea that they just need a little bit of finessing.
So let me get to Ken in Rochester next. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Just wanted to make an observation, and I'm sure she's well aware of this. You know, you go to the Costco's, you go to the Wegmans, et cetera, and you want to just pick up a few things for home, maybe some baked goods, et cetera. You go to all these baked good areas in these stores today, and the amount of plastic that they're using to store and sell, you know, croissants and cookies and pies and cakes and so on, it's ridiculous. And it's all one-time use stuff. We are right now hosting a French student who was kind of like stuck and stay in place with us. That it's totally not like that over in France. You know, you go to the store to get your bread, and you throw it in your sack, and you bring it home. And certainly here, you know what the situation is. I'd like for her to comment on that, please.
Yeah, go ahead, Marielle.
So I am not as well traveled as the listener's student that's staying with them, so I can't speak directly to the differences between the United States and Europe, but I will say that I totally agree. A lot of ready-made foods are going to come in these plastics, which are of varying degrees of recyclability. And of course, you're using them only until you consume the food. They may not have a lot of reusability, although I've seen some people using them for starting seedlings and things like that, plants at home. The ways that you can avoid that are unfortunately kind of the tried and true methods of making something yourself. If you're going to have cookies or you're going to have bread, you can bake that at home if you have the means and the know-how. Another option would be to get something from a smaller local bakery that still uses paper or cardboard for packaging. And of course, you can try to modify your diet so that maybe you don't consume quite as much of that type of item. It's more of a special treat than a daily consumption. Those are my thoughts.
All right. Thanks very much, Ken. This is Tom in Rochester next. Hi, Tom.
Hey there, Evan. A couple of things we do at home. The chip bag, we do eat, you know, chips. We use that as our trash bag under the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't buy any plastic bags whatsoever. And if you don't have them, you don't use them. The other thing that we do, I use an electric razor. I bought all my nephews electric razors so that they don't have the ongoing expense and waste. We also return all of our hangers to the dry cleaner. Some dry cleaners take them, some don't, but no reason to throw them out. There are plenty of dry cleaners that do take them back, and the bags that your dry cleaning comes in, pull the staple out of it, and it goes right in with the plastic recycling at you know, your local store. When we go to this, if we go out to eat, we have leftovers, we ask that they be put in a piece of aluminum foil, no clamshells, and most restaurants are happy to do that. You wipe it off, and that's easy to recycle. Those are just a few of the things we're doing.
That's awesome. Tom, thank you very much. Marielle, a little inspiration for you, maybe.
Yeah, I think the chip bag is brilliant. You know, if I can't kick that habit, it's one more use of that item before it goes into the landfill. So, and with regard to flexible plastics, that's a huge area for public education. A lot of people don't realize that. I think the Eco Parks, which is a Monroe County, Rochester area place for recycling, the Eco Parks recommendation is if you can put your thumb through a piece of plastic, so like clean plastic wrap, a grocery bag, mm-hmm. something like that, it's probably recyclable with your flexible plastics, not in the curbside recycling, but in the plastics you drop off at the grocery store in that bag or bin outside of the entrance.
I was going to say that's a good rule of thumb for a little dad joke. There you
that's
go.
That's fantastic.
A different Barbara, third Barbara of the hour, says, what do you do about products which only seem to come in plastic? Example would be protein powders, window cleaners, family pack food from Wegmans like six peppers, and prescription bottles.
So actually, that was almost a prophetic comment because those are all in my list of items that are harder to avoid.
Yep.
that I sent to you, Evan. So let's think a little bit about cleaners. Cleaners is one area where you probably can make a difference. So rather than, and this is one of the photographs that will be posted on social media, rather than using a single-use plastic
bottle for your plastic, for your cleaner that you're going to clean a window with, or maybe a hard surface cleaner, you could choose to have a bottle that you wash and refill with a concentrate. So even though you're still buying the cleaner and concentrated version, you're buying a lot less plastic. You can also make your own cleaners to use at home. My one caution there is that those cleaners are for cleaning surface grit, grime, visible dirt. They're not sanitizing cleaners, so it's a great way to reduce your plastic. But if you need a sanitizing cleaner, that's probably something, like, I still buy that.
What is the single hardest one on your list where you go, boy, in the last year, this is like, this is, you know, my white whale. This is the one that I just can't seem to figure out how to get the plastic out in this particular item, product, et cetera.
Oh, that's easy. It is produce. And I know that there are a lot of different produce options. So, for example, shopping at the public market, bringing your own cloth produce bags before you take the items at home, eating produce items more quickly. But especially if you're looking for an organic produce item or a specific type of produce item, often in the grocery store, you only get one choice or maybe two choices, and they're almost always in plastic. So it's kind of a choice of your personal, I feel it's a choice of your personal health sometimes over or just not eating it that week. So some things I've tried to do, we do have a farm share. So in the summer months, we get our produce without any packaging, which is wonderful. We also have used the Good Food Collective in Rochester, which tries to reduce packaging, but there is still some. And again, if there's something that's got a monstrous amount of packaging on it, I may just go without that item or choose to eat something else. But that's the hardest area.
Yeah, and I'm thinking of I'm thinking of ways to reduce the use of plastic when you're getting vegetables from the grocery store to your house. And there's a couple of things that come to mind. First of all, one of our listeners just sent an email saying, you know, you can literally just carry items straight to your car. You don't even need to bring bags with you as long as your order isn't big. And we're starting to see more people do that when they remember, oops, no plastic bags. I don't want to pay for the paper bag. You can definitely do that. But then, Marielle, I think we also talked about this last year. Even when you're trying to help the cashier by weighing the food, you know, in advance. Let's say you're doing bell pepper and you're going to weigh them in advance and then you're going to put that sticker on there. That way the cashier doesn't have to do that. You keep the line moving. But that what you print up is a plastic tag that goes right on the pepper. So I almost feel more compelled to have the cashier do it, even though it's more work for them and it slows the line down. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's somewhat of a personal decision. You're absolutely right. The bagging and pre-weighing of things contributes to more plastic. On the other hand, just putting something plain on the conveyor belt there for the cashier, you know, you have to worry about cleanliness and takes a little bit longer to get through checkout. So, but I have been making some changes where I can to try to reuse the plastic bags if I do have them at home, and again, to eat items more quickly. So in other words, I may bring something home without a plastic bag, but if I have one from a previous purchase, I will at least reuse that. Especially if it's something you're going to cook afterwards, I don't worry as much about reusing that bag for a food item.
All right, let's squeeze in as many calls as we can. Scott Prattsburg. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Evan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just a quick question and comment. You know, paper, I can see that could be an alternative, but, you know, we do need our trees out there. What about hemp, which is kind of big in our region? Cindy, have you heard anything about them producing packaging with hemp? I know there's a capability of that, and I was just wondering how they're pursuing it.
A very good question. Marielle, what are you hearing about hemp?
I actually don't really have any knowledge about specifically about hemp in sustainable packaging, but I have a list of things when I was preparing for the show that have really changed in the past year or seem to be ramping up. And one of them is the presence of more sustainable, compostable, recyclable packaging. This is something that companies are thinking about in their branding increasingly and advertising if they do it. So, you know, we can hope that as consumers, if we make those choices, that we can push the market in a more sustainable direction.
And Scott, I suspect you will hear more about hemp going forward as a product that can be used in a lot of different ways. Jack in Geneva, listening on Finger Lakes Public Radio, WEOS. Hi, Jack.
Hi, how are you, Evan?
Very good.
I heard somebody say something about reusing prescription bottles. Our church has partnered somehow with Malawi, and they're encouraging us to save prescription bottles, take the labels off, and so on and so forth, and bring them in, and they send them over there where they have a shortage of being able to fill prescriptions in these amber bottles. And I suspect, although I don't know, that there are probably other countries that could use this. And I'll take my answer off the phone.
Yeah, Jack, thanks for that call. Just as Jack called, Marielle, Rachel emailed to say Verona Street Shelter in Rochester will take prescription bottles. They always need them for pets. So where do you think is a suitable destination for prescription bottles?
There's also some information on the EcoPark website. Again, that's a Monroe County option for a local source about recycling. And the important thing about pharmaceutical bottles is that they really do need to be empty, and you need to have safely disposed of the pharmaceutical waste. So right now, due to the crisis that we're in, a lot of these options are not available, but there are a lot of police departments, for example, who will take leftover prescriptions so that you can do something else with them. And I was Googling some information about pill bottle donations as the caller was talking about them, and there are some options out there for, again, empty, clean, and de-identified, so the label off the outside, places that you can donate these.
Yeah, Jack, Rachel, thank you so much for not only highlighting the issue, but letting us know some of the really good things people are doing to find destinations for that. We've got the best listeners. I love hearing stories like that. James in Rochester next. Go ahead.
Hi. I had a question about what the guest said about the washing clothes to get washing clothes causes plastic to go into the wash water, and you can collect it in some kind of a strainer. What do you do with the what you've collected, though?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. This is an area that I'm learning about, but all the resources are, and again, this is a little bit challenging because on one wash or two washes or three washes, you know, you're not going to see any visible buildup because these plastics mm-hmm. are so small, or you may not. Mm-hmm. So the recommendation, and this is both for your washer and for the lint from your dryer, is that you carefully collect it and it goes into the trash. It gets thrown away. It doesn't get recycled or washed down the drain.
Oh.
You may be able to find some people who are really creative and have uses for lint, but I don't have any offhand.
Okay. Thank you.
That's another good point or tip, though, is to don't ever compost your dryer lint either. That's a source of microplastics.
James, thank you. A listener on Twitter, real briefly, just says, germs can live on a bar of soap much more easily, right? They're harder to keep hygienic, unless I'm mistaken.
You know, just by coincidence, I just watched a PBS short on this from the channel It's Okay to Be Smart. Listeners may be familiar with that. And so I can't cite a source other than that, but my understanding is that bar soap is not less hygienic than pump soap.
Okay. And definitely, you know, bounce around and Google and read a little bit more about that. I mean, I understand the concern, but there's probably a lot more to learn on that. And I'm glad PBS had something, though no surprise on that. Real tight. John and Parenton, you got to keep it real tight. Go ahead.
Well, I try to utilize bulk food whenever I can, like oatmeal and raisins and things like that, and save most of the packaging. Try to use my own recyclable bags sometimes, but sometimes they're dirty. So like when you go to Wegmans and you get their fairly thin plastic bags that come on that roll, you're supposed to put your bulk food in, put it on the scale, and then people slap a adhesive paper tag on that.
Yeah.
I believe that makes that portion or maybe that whole bag unrecyclable. Is that true or false?
Oh, okay. So when you actually affix that tag, Marielle?
So what I do, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but what I do is I actually cut or tear the tag back off of the bag before I recycle it with my flexible plastics.
Very good. Okay. Just to be sure. Just to be sure with the flexible plastic. 30 seconds, Marielle. Some final thoughts for listeners who might really, I think, be inspired by this, but are thinking, you know, when life kind of goes back to more normal, is this sustainable? What's your final thoughts on the lessons you've learned in the last year?
Okay, so my high points are that you need to be positive about this. Do what you can do, not sort of the ultimate perfect solution, because that probably won't be sustainable. You can try putting yourself on a plastic diet. You put your plastic waste aside for a week or a month, then look at it and see, all right, what did I throw out the most of, and now what can I improve? And don't worry, if you fall off the bandwagon, just get right back on.
I really not only appreciate what you've done, but you are maybe the least judgmental person that I've met. You do it in a way that makes it so easy to sort of follow your lead but not feel judged. And as we've talked about, that's so important. I think you're really changing people's habits, Marielle. And so thanks for being willing to come back. And, you know, I'm going to call you in a year. We're going to see how far you came on produce in the last year. But thank you so much for all the insight.
Thank you so much for having me on.
That's the amazing Marielle Jensen Battaglia joining us. Our thanks to the whole Connections team. Emery Stein is the intern. Megan Mack is the producer. Rob Braden, engineer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon. Talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.